You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. We're going to look ahead to today's action in Tipperary. A good card to look forward to there, including the Group 3 Ferry Bridge Stakes. And my name is Mark Walton. Joining me on the line is William Hill Radio's Irish racing expert, Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
I'm very well, thanks, Mark.
Good man. Not too bad a card tonight in Tipperary.
No, it's always an added bonus, isn't it, to get a bit of group race action midweek. And we've been served with a very good race at 5:40 tonight, containing quite a few really good fillies, and they're all in form as well. The likes of A. Nippy, Tested, Laviniad, not to mention Military Angel and Newsletter, who've been a little bit lucky in their last few starts, and that all adds up to be a mouth-watering affair, plus some other good competitive races, including the mains as well, which are going to be sort of 4-5 to 1 the field races, so plenty for the punters to get stuck into tonight.
Yeah, certainly. And let's get stuck into it then. The first race this evening is the 4:35. We start here with an EBF maiden over 7.5 furlongs. A Year to Remember is the 5-2 market leader. 11-4 for Lerner Roo. 9-1 for Off and On. Precious Gold 10-1 with Vocal Defence. 12s for Pacadali. And 12-1 also for Snowy Scene and Red Stars. And 14s or bigger for the others. So the Aidan O'Brien newcomer, A Year to Remember, is at the top of the market. Andy, do you see going to one of the newcomers here?
It's obviously a good possibility, it might, because many of those that have run so far haven't run up to a massive standard. And it'll be interesting to see how the market reacts to this A Year to Remember. Mixed messages with his two-year-old colt so far this season. Two-year-old-wise, obviously, he's had quite a few precocious ones, some early-season types, which have done well in and around the Ascot period and thereafter. But a few that have needed the run that have been very well backed as well, including a few over the weekend at the Curra. So you're never really sure with that yard what to expect. But there is one in this race that I think is hugely overpriced here. And I think bookmakers have completely missed this filly. She comes out of a very good race on my numbers first time out. And the horse in question is called Radiantly from the Willie McCreary stable. Of course, got a really good record with the Fairer Sex. Fierce Solana would be his number one horse in the last year or so. And I really thought this horse shaped with a massive amount of promise in that race. It was won by Juliet Fair. Funny enough, it was a race that I went for a bit of a touch on the second Gilded Reflection, backed him from 5s into 7-4, and unfortunately, once again, that horse missed the break and was probably the best horse in the race, but could never really get into it because of that slow beginning. And Juliet Fair, the winner, had already had a previous run and was better positioned despite that bad draw. But in behind the field was this Radiantly, who was very slowly into stride and he had one behind turning into the home straight. But I really like the way she finished off her race, suggesting that she's got plenty of ability and also that she would require a little bit further than 6 furlongs in time. So I think it's a good move by Connections here to find a race over 7.5. If she handles the ground, every chance she will be in by Aussie rules, then at 14-1, I think she's got a massive chance of outrunning her odds. I expect her to be there or thereabouts. The speed figures suggest she will be. And I actually would be quite disappointed if she doesn't finish in the first race. So let's get off to a real good start with Radiantly each way in the first.
Nice bit of value in the first then. Moving on to the second, which is the 5:10. This one is a nursery handicap over 7.5 furlongs. The market headed by Jefferson Davis, who's 11-4. 3-1 from 7-2 for Tonkiness. 100-30 for Core Stuffing. 5-1 for Whiskey Sour. And 7-1 or bigger prices for the others. A few of these arrive here in winning form, 3 of them, in fact, Andy. So one of those going to come home in front of here?
Well, I can see why Jefferson Davis is creating quite a bit of a splash in the markets this morning, considering he was a wildly impressive winner down in Killarney the other day. Not only was good visually, he was also good on the clock as well. He actually ran a faster overall time than the 80-plus rated three-year-olds in the very next race on the card. So it was a good effort from a two-year-old. It was just that he had the first-time visor on. Obviously, that caused him to run as well as he did. And if the headgear works again, of course, sometimes it doesn't always work the second time as well, then you know, we might be slightly vulnerable at a fairly shortish price. All in all, I just can't understand how they bet this race, because Whiskey Sour, whichever which way strip it down, absolutely pulverised Jefferson Davis when they last met at Galway. Now, whether the headgear has a 14.5 length swing in favour of Kevin Prendergast's gelding, then I wouldn't be absolutely sure. But I've just got to go with Whiskey Sour. I can't believe this horse is 5-1 this morning. I'd have this horse in at favourite. I mean, it was a good race at Galway. It was a well contested race. Palmetto Jones the second had obviously been laid out for the contest by Dermot Weldon. He just basically wasn't good enough. And I thought Edwin Arnhem's charge did everything wrong in that race and still won. He pulled like a Mustang. I thought he was going to have nothing left in the finish. I actually backed Palmetto Jones, and I still can't believe how he didn't manage to go by Whiskey Sour. But it was just Whiskey Sour's tenaciousness and toughness off the bridle that I really liked. The time of the race is good. He comes out second top of my figures. Obviously, Jefferson Davis has posted a really good time subsequently. But I expect Whiskey Sour to improve. And if he does settle a bit better than he did the last day, God knows what he's going to do to him in the latter stages. And 5-1 is just an absolute gift. So let's get stuck into Whiskey Sour here.
Whiskey Sour for Andy in the 5.10. The big race of the evening is the 5.40. This one is the Fairy Bridge Stakes, a Group 3 contest for fillies and mares over 7.5 furlongs. Tested heads the market at 5-2, 3-1 for a Nippy, 10s into 7s for Military Angel, 8-1 for Lavinyard, who's going the other way, 8-1 for Newsletter, 9-1 for Tamador, and 11-1 or bigger prices for the others. A good renewal of this race, Andy. Tested the winner last year, heads the market for this year's renewal as well. How do you see it going?
Yeah, it's always significant when a horse who won the race last year comes back again trying to repeat the dose. And it's not as if Tested is in bad form at all. She was very unlucky just to get nutted in the last stride, literally by Lavinyard at the Galway Festival. Unfortunately, just denying favourite backers. But, you know, she's clearly a very good filly on her day, Dermot Weld's charge. And she's by Selkirk, and she's already proven that a bit of cutting the ground over this distance is absolutely ideal. She's got a good draw. And all in all, she probably, on balance, is the one to beat. But there are a couple of fillies in this race that also, I think, are going the right way. And they've been quite dear to my heart over the last year or so. Hey, Nippy, I logged on to her after her very first win in her career at Nace when she did a good time. And even though I've avoided her on a few occasions, she still keeps running really well and proving me wrong. I wasn't convinced she'd get 7 furlongs last time. She looks a sprinter through and through. But she did it in fantastic fashion. Not only did she beat a good field that day at Fairy House, she posted a very good number off the back of a good time at the Curragh the time before. So it'll be dangerous to underestimate Gerlange's ANIP. And I think, despite the draw, she's going to run well. But at the prices here today, I've got to go with a Newsletter. I've also got a bit of a soft spot for Ken Condon's three-year-old. I've put her up and backed her a few times this year, and even though she's only won once, she's run really well in defeat on many and many occasions. And I actually think this horse is actually crying out for 7 furlongs. She got beat by ANIP over 7 when that horse did it for a turn of foot late on at the Curragh. Last time out, she ran really well from the back of the field at Nace, just finding that 6 furlongs on quick ground a little bit too sharp for her. Same comments apply at York. But when she got a test of stamina, the only time this season on soft ground at Nottingham, she was really good. She's very strong in the finish. So I think of all the ones at the front end of the market, she's actually probably open to the most improvements over today's trip. And she's 8-1 this morning. She's got her ground. She's nicely drawn. So let's go for a Newsletter as the each-way alternative to the front two in the market.
Newsletter, the selection for Andy then in the big race of the night. The 6.10 is the fourth race. This one is a maiden over 7.5 furlongs. Mulcair is the 3-1 favourite. 7-2 for Perfect Fit. Stress Test is 4-1. It's 13-2 for Aunt Sally and Rainfall Radar. 10s for Falcao and Peliponnesus. And 11-1 or bigger prices for the others. Who do you side with in that maiden, Andy?
Well, Mulcair probably just set the standard, and therefore she's a worthy favourite on the ratings and what she's done on the racetrack. It wouldn't surprise me if she popped up here and finally got off the mark. She ran in a good time figure down in Nace the other day. That race has worked out reasonably well. We've seen the fourth win subsequently, horse called Zillin. So from a low draw and with her ability to stay this trip on soft ground, of course she was second to Corral early on in the year at Limerick under such conditions, then I think it wouldn't be the shock if she managed to win this race. But I'm looking for something that perhaps just got a little bit more upside perhaps and might offer up a little bit of value and has got a bit of improvement to come. And that horse is Rainfall Radar. who's just had the one run in its career. It was a 50-1 poke on debut at Galway. It was drawn 13 of 14, so the signs were there that it wasn't going to run much of a race. But it certainly belied those negative vibes by finishing a very eye-catching sixth in behind in Bergman. It was a race run at a sound tempo, courtesy of the front two in the market taking each other on early, Unyielding and Valak. And even though Rainfire Radar never looked like winning or threatening the first two or three that day, she did come home very strongly from the bottom of the hill into the home straight and to the line. And she was definitely going on strongest at the finish. She made a good impression on me that day. And with just normal improvement, you'd certainly like to think that she could be competitive enough in a race like this, because there isn't a great deal of strength in depth. As we've talked about, Morkaya set to standard and perfect fit. They're rated 74 apiece. So, you know, she didn't run too far beyond that kind of rating first time out. And if she can just build on that, then I think she'll be competitive here. So, again, another nice each-way bet in the shape of Rainfall Radar in the 6.10.
Nice each-way bet for Andy then in the 6.10. Moving on to the 6.40 next, which is the fifth race on the card. This is an apprentice handicap over 7.5 furlongs. Timeless Focus, support at the top of the market, sixes into fives, 11-2 for Caution, Chaplin Bay, another one at 11-2, 8-1 for Lahardi, nines for Escapism and Easy Boy, and 10-1 or bigger prices for the others. A tricky race, Andy, given that a lot of these have been struggling. So who do you think will come home in front this evening?
I have no idea, really, Mark, is the honest answer. It's 5-6-1 the field. It tells you, really, the complexities of this race. And I've got no real strong view. Obviously, got to put a selection up, and that will probably go with Chaplin Bay, just because I think he'll run a fairly solid race. He has done in his last full start, so let's go with him again. He's been running against some decent standard of opponents in these kind of events. He finished second to Ishibao Grey. Everyone knows that Patrick Martin's charge is a fairly reliable conveyance in these kind of events. And fourth to subsequent winners, Ploughboy and Octavia at Down Royal. Again, that's another good effort by Davey Watchman's three-year-old. And then last time out, just couldn't quite go the pace of the front runners in the latter stages, albeit only got beat a length behind Captain Power and the aforementioned Easy Bay or Grey. Back in the field that day was a horse called Callin Moore from the Mickey Halford Stable, but of course won out of that race rather surprisingly at the Curragh over the weekend. So the form is fairly solid. Stays this trip really well, or certainly stays seven well. Obviously half a furlong more to go tonight. And we've got a good apprentice on board as well, and a low draw with Connor King drawn in trap three. So Chaplin Bay, round about 6-1 this morning, is the token choice in that 6.40.
Chaplin Bay in the 6.40. The penultimate race is the 7.10. This one is a handicap over a mile and one furlong. And Emmegan Lass is the 5-2 market leader. Support from 3-1 this morning. Dal Mirage 7s. Money for War Anthem, who is 11s into 7s at the time of recording this. 8-1 for Reckless Lad. 10s for Mutazen. 11-1 for Bribe the Bouncer. And 12s or bigger for the others. Again, another competitive handicap here, Andy. But a pretty sharp price favourite from John Oxyard.
Yeah, no great surprises, it really. You've got a lightly raced filly, trained by a powerful stable, John Ox, that's likely to improve significantly on what she's already done. In a fairly ordinary handicap, it has to be said, where a lot of these, we know where we sit with them, that there's going to be nothing really improving dramatically. And it wouldn't surprise me if this Amar Ginn last won this. I'd certainly approach this race by permitting in my thought process and my portfolio on this race. I'd have to have a few quid on her, because I think off a mark of 79, she'd still be quite well handicapped. She beat a horse called Boa Boy, who went on to win at the Galway Festival, and subsequently running a handicap, finishing fifth at Killarney off a mark of 92. So I think retrospectively, if the handicapper had a chance of rating John Ox's filly again, he'd give her more than 79. She bumped into a group filly first time out in the shape of Ashara at the Curragh, and again she ran really well that day. She stays the trip fine. She's already handled soft ground. Other than the draw, which is a bit tricky in trap 11, I think she's got quite a bit of going for her here, this Amar Ginn Lass. And like I said, I definitely have a few quid on her at around about 5-2. But there is one in this race that I think the bookmakers have rather been a bit disrespectful for in many respects, and that's Bribe the Bouncer from the Dennis Hogan stable. A really good winner and a fast time at Galway on the 29th of July at the festival. Beat Plough Boy. And anyone who's beaten Plough Boy in this kind of grade, you know, you've certainly got to be respected, because that horse is on a right roll and has won subsequently. Did it from the bad draw as well, still 16, and went back to Galway a couple of days later in a bid to repeat that, but found the dropping to seven furlongs all against it. I had a feeling it would that day. I actually suggested that the trip might find it out, because he stayed on that strongly and needed every yard of that mile and a half a furlong the time before. up in trip today to mile one. Nice draw. We know it goes well. We're cutting the ground. We know it stays and it's got a very good time. So 11 to 1 for Bride the Bouncer also seems a bit peculiar and a bit odd to me. So two against the field there. The favourite, definitely the one to beat on the ratings. And with a bit more potential over today's trip, perhaps Bride the Bouncer could also run well.
Couple to consider there then in the 7.10, and the final race is the 7.40. We finish here with a race for three-year-olds and older that since the 1st of August 2014 have not finished first, second or third in a listed or group race. We're over a mile and one furlong here, and Tandem is the 2-1 favourite, 9-4 for In My Pocket. Rivers of Babylon is 7-2, 5-1 for Fog of War, and Aurelia Cotter is the 8-1 outsider. So what do you make of this lucky last, Andy?
Yeah, a bit of a trappy one this. I'm never really sure with these rated races, and sometimes you can get funny results, and because you usually get small fields, they can turn into tactical affairs, and that's why they're not all that reliable. Obviously, the top-rated horse in this race, courtesy of many good runs in the past, is Tandem, who has been plying his trade largely over hurdles in recent times. In fact, his last five or six runs have all been over timber, and he's run respectively well. Of course, his last win came at Navan in 2014. He's also finished a good third behind Snake Eyes in a decent contest at the Punchestown Festival. And his last run as well, at Ballybrit, suggests the horse is right on top of his game. He's around about 130 rated horse over hurdles. And that fourth behind Vive de France in a very competitive handicap suggests that he's holding his form really well. He goes back to the flat here over a distance where in the past he was really good, around about a mile, mile one, mile and a half, mile and a quarter, was his optimum condition. So he's probably just about the selection here ahead of the potential improvers In My Pocket and Aurelia Cotter, even though the ratings boys will have you that she's got plenty to find. She's in absolutely phenomenal form at the moment, Edmund Linehan's charge. And I'm a little bit surprised that Connections have decided to run her in a race like this rather than exploit what seemingly still a perfectly workable handicap mark of 84, considering how much form she's in at the moment. But I'd have to go with Tandem. Even though he hasn't run on the flat for 677 days, he's certainly fit enough to do himself justice here after all those good runs over hurdles. Let's hope he can just cope with one or two of the younger brigade here.
Good stuff. Let's just have a quick summary as usual, Andy, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
Yeah, good card tonight at Tipperary. There's quite a few races I'm quite keen on from a betting perspective, mainly early on in the card. I'm definitely going to have a few good on that Radiant Lee in the first and suggest you do so as well. Hopefully, if you follow me in, you'll be rewarded handsomely there with around about a 14-1 shot. In the second race, I'm really keen on Whiskey Sour at the prices. I certainly respect respect for Jefferson Davis, who was really good the other day, but it's got plenty to find with Whiskey Sour on their Galway run, and I think Edmund Lynham's charge is massively overpriced at 5-1. The two against the field in the 5-4 to the big race tonight would be A&EP Newsletter, but I'll go with Newsletter each way at the prices. Rainfall Radar ran a perfectly respectable race on debut at Galway and hopefully will improve enough to be competitive in that 6.10. In the 6.40, Trappio race, no great opinion, but Chaplin Bay is the each-way choice. In the 7.10, two against the field there would be M.R. Ginlass and Bribe the Bouncer. And in the final race, Tandem for the Dermot Weld Stable makes quite a bit of appeal.
Superb. Good work, Andy. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy Tipperary this evening.
Will do. Thanks, mate.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.